Welcome to Extreme Prophetic. My name is Patricia King, and I'm glad that you've joined us for today's program. You are going to hear of a remarkable testimony and some very deep spiritual insights, because with us today we have Mickey Robinson. And Mickey, it's wonderful to have you back. You're a friend of our ministry, and you've been out here ministering before, and you carry a remarkable testimony of the saving power of Jesus Christ, his resurrection power, his restoration power, his goodness. And you are the author of a book called Falling to Heaven, not falling from heaven, falling to heaven. And this is a wonderful book of your testimony. And we have it on our bookstore online. And I know that people from all over the world have read your book. But why don't we hear firsthand from your testimony right now? Because you had a tragedy take place in your life many years ago that could have actually just finished everything for you. But instead, it was the beginning.
Yeah. Actually, a little bit of my background, I was raised in the Midwest, outside of Cleveland, Ohio, in a typical 1950s suburban life, like happy days. Grew up in a Roman Catholic home, so as far back as I can remember, went to church, went to Catholic school, but I never met anybody that ever had a personal encounter or answered prayer, any kind of reality with the living God.
Right.
And as my life progressed, as people did in those areas, when I went to public high school, I was, you know, it was all sports and what group you're in, and because of, you know, on the outside, I might have looked like I had my act together, you know, being athletic.
In fact, you were kind of an athletic
star
in a way, right? Yeah. You were very popular and good at what you did. And
you know, I have this thing I'd like to say to people, that God's not looking for people who have their act together. He's looking for people that know their act is over.
Yeah, okay.
And I didn't,
you know. It's time for his act to begin.
Yeah, and after I turned 18 years old, graduated from high school, and I got a job in a stock brokerage firm. And it wasn't about greed. It was all about, you know, the lifestyle that they told us you're supposed to have to be accepted or to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
And the action, just all the...
Sure.
But there was never enough excitement to fill up stuff in this life. And so in addition to being a snow skier and all kinds of things like that, I started flying airplanes, and then I started jumping out of them, and I became basically a skydiving crackhead. I became addicted to skydiving.
Addicted to skydiving.
Totally addicted.
I can't imagine.
We'd have to do a whole other segment just on the pleasure. I did it for the pleasure.
Oh,
and it's not about the adrenaline. I was never afraid or anything like that. But and when you think about it, the term living for the moment, it boiled down to that time that I was in free fall. Life to me was all about that 30 to 60 seconds of being in free fall and opening the parachute and having maybe a 5-minute parachute ride, landing on the earth, and doing it again. See, anything in this lifetime,
mm-hmm.
whether it's sensual, whether it's drugs, whether it's success, a career,
sure.
something you think, people are trying to fill their lives with something, because ticking away in them is this vibration that's called eternity in their hearts.
Yeah.
Ecclesiastes 3:11.
Yeah.
That if you don't know what that is, then you're trying to pack as much life into this little span that you can. That's what I was doing. So I got down there. I was living for that, the pleasure
right.
of being in free fall. It was like for a momentary time falling into freedom. And I was good at it. After 20 jumps, I was asked to be on a professional demonstration team, which is unheard of. No one in the world ever progressed that fast. And it was something I liked. I was talented. And when you apply yourself to something you like, you can excel at it.
And Mickey, you were always the kind of person that would excel in it. And still to this day, you always excel in everything that you do. It's what you're made of, and it's, you know, that was part of you. And as a young man, you just, in everything you put your hands to do, you went all the way. You excelled in it. You put yourself into it. From a world standpoint, you had everything going for you.
But then suddenly, on a routine day, that, you know, at that point in my life, I thought I had everything in my control.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew I could be the best skydiver in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I knew if I wanted to, I could make money or whatever. But I was into this thing about skydiving so much. And then on August 15th, 1968, on a routine night, it would have been normally just a regular practice jump, we were going up, and shortly after takeoff, the engine failed. And the airplane had an aerodynamic stall, which you lose all your lift, and the airplane is no longer flying, but plummeting straight towards the ground. We hit a tree. I was thrown forward, smashed my head, and the airplane cartwheeled on its wings, and four of the skydivers escaped, and as the last one was leaving, then the plane exploded into flames. And I was soaked with fuel, and the last man out of the plane heard screams, ran inside and rescued and grabbed a hold of me. I was stuck. I was trying to get out, but I was soaked with gasoline and on fire like you'd see in Saving Private Ryan or one of those kind of movies.
Every time I hear this testimony, I just like get this sick feeling inside. I just can't imagine what it would have been like for you at that moment.
Well, I have almost like a dreamlike memory of like waving my arms, stopping melting metal and plastic from sinking into my body. And then after my friend Dan got me as far away as they tried to put to get the fire out, he said, get up and run. He said, I went about 10 steps and fell. And I kind of vaguely remember putting my hand on the back of my head and pulling out, and part of my scalp was in my hand. And then I just passed out, or I was unconscious, and they rushed me to the closest little hospital. And they didn't expect me to live through the night because in addition to the horrible burns, and I had brain trauma from hitting the front of the aircraft, and had a big gash, tore my face wide open. My right eye was blind. But usually, even though I was a professional athlete and in perfect health, you could die just instantly of shock from that kind of, from the trauma. Mm-hmm. And they expected me to die.
Just hearing the story, people could die from shock.
Maybe.
Some people have.
Well, the problem with the kind of injuries I had is the prevention of complications, which they tried everything.
Right.
All the medicine and surgery and so forth. But after about 5 or 6 weeks, and after losing over 40% of my body weight and bleeding 10 pints of blood a day at certain times, they gave up all hope of me living, and they were just waiting for me to die. And
Mickey, I used to nurse in a general hospital. Mm. And for a couple of years, I did work a burn unit. And it's like we used to have, people brought in. It was a regional hospital where they would come in from all over, and we had terrible burn situations that we looked after. And what you're saying, like how you describe yourself, it is like totally a miracle that you're alive, because you just don't see survival much on that level.
Well, I had multiple complications, and the doctor said that any one of those would have been fatal on a healthy person, and I had like seven different kind of combinations. So they just brought in an expert, and he said there's no hope, and they gave up, we're going to let me die. Now, I wanted to mention, I had a lot of experiences from the very beginning where my spirit left my body. And I want to do that just so people know that this has happened, and it's practiced even in other forms. But like my sister's father-in-law, who was a surgeon, had volunteered to go to Vietnam to operate on civilians, and he had just returned from doing these, 12 hours a day, these impossible operations. He came and examined me, and he was a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. And I remember him saying, Mickey, just eat everything they put in front of you. And he left, and I went out with him, and I'm wondering why he wasn't talking to me. And he stepped on the little rubber pad, and the door swung open and went right through me. And then, as soon as I was cognizant of the fact, just like a bungee cord, my spirit was pulled back in my body. Well, I had lots of those things. But on this particular thing I'm to describe, the doctor had told my sister that I better come that morning right away because I wouldn't be there in the afternoon. All the signs were that my life was giving out. Mm-hmm. I was shaking with a fever and just so sick. And all of a sudden, my spirit went perpendicular in my body. I could feel my legs, my spiritual legs, go through the bed and the bed springs, and then I was ejected. And I went into a realm that I now would recognize as the second heaven. But instantly, I was totally aware of eternity.
Wow.
And it is staggering, the fact of eternity. We are so, everything on this realm here, in the physical world, even the stars, as vast as they are, is relative to the finite. It is relative to time.
Right.
No matter how you measure it, it still has a beginning and an end.
So there you were. Everyone was expecting you to go any minute, but your spirit man stood up and you got ejected into this eternal realm. When we come back from this break we're going to take, we're going to find out more about the realm, the heavens, the unseen, and more about what happened with you as you were transported in the spirit in that way, or left your body.
It's
more real than this life. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back. I have with me today Mickey Robinson, the author of Falling to Heaven and a wonderful itinerant ministry in the prophetic and evangelism and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But before break, Mickey, we're sharing, about the whole accident and everything, and then we just got to the point where you were at this pivotal place between life and death. Your spirit man rose up, and you were taken in an out-of-body experience where you encountered the unseen realm. Mm-hmm. I know that the viewers, and me too, I want to hear what happened.
The most instantly, the most impacting thing was, first of all, I wasn't even thinking about what had happened. I was so blown away by the revelatory understanding of eternity. Is, you know, as much as we understand this as long as we're here, is nothing compared to mm-hmm. understanding eternity. Plus, everything I saw was like the colors were more colorful. The edges of everything were sharper. Mm-hmm. Everything, emotion, everything is more full of life. It's just heightened.
Right.
It's all heightened. And then as I was staring off, and I was being drawn, and there was a white portal. And I can't say how far away it was, but it was whiter than the white you're from Canada, and you know what it.
Right.
Snowblind is.
Right.
You know, it was whiter than that and brighter than the sun 1,000 times, but I could look right at it, and it was compelling. And so I was going in that direction, and I could feel something on my right side, and I looked, and I saw this blackness. And this blackness, I could actually taste the nature of it. It also was eternal.
Wow.
It had no matter in it, no life, and there was the understanding that if a being goes in there, there would be no chance to have any contact with the source of life. You'd be
wow.
eternally separated. It is the most horrific, the most absolutely bleak, hopeless, beyond measure. And the greatest torment will be you will have every burning passion and desire for anything, knowing you will never experience anything but separation. And that was beginning to close in front of me. And the more I looked at it, the more rapid it began to close, where it got down. I was almost at this portal, and there was like a half inch of white light that eternally went down that way and up that way. And I cried out the same prayer I prayed when they took me in the ambulance. Here's a guy I didn't even know how to pray. I was, you know, I was selfish. I was living for myself. But for the first time, I knew I was in real trouble. I didn't even really know mm-hmm. how much I was in. But now I was, it wasn't just dying or
right.
or suffering. It was eternal separation. I said, mm-hmm. no, God, I'm sorry. I want to live. Give me another chance. And instantly, I was standing in the presence of Almighty God in heaven.
Oh, wow.
And instantaneously, I knew I would live with God in His love forever and ever and ever and ever.
Wow.
I was standing in this, what I only can describe, if you could see radiation, it would look like this. And it was flowing from my left to right, a river of golden light with little pieces of gold vibrating in it. It was going right through me, and I was more alive. You can even know whatever being alive is like. It's like
the scripture says, they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved mm-hmm. or delivered. It's a big portion of salvation. Mm-hmm. And that's what you experienced. You yeah. called out on the name of the Lord, and immediately you were delivered.
Yeah. Then I saw, wow. like in an open vision, like you'd be looking at a big flat screen TV. I wish he'd given me the schematics. I could have invented it about 40 years ahead of time. And I saw 7 years of the future, every second, including I saw my wife Barbara 5 years before we met, saw the first house we were going to live in. I could smell the lilac bushes along a fence that goes to a gate where we were going to have horses, 6 years before that ever happened. And then God spoke to me in a higher form of communication, spirit to spirit, that I was going back to the earth. Basically, He was answering my prayer. I'm sorry. I want to live. Give me another chance. And when God speaks, what He says, that's really what happens. And all of a sudden, I was going back the same way I came. I came out of the third heaven, through the second heaven, through the Earth's atmosphere, and pressed into my physical body. And it was kind of like when people beam up on Star Trek, the room materialized, and I was seeing out of the eye that wasn't this eye was blind. I could hear out of my ears, and out of my mouth was this beautiful language I'd never heard anything about. And the person that was condemned to death 7 different ways was now alive.
I love it.
And full of a love and a peace that I cannot describe it.
No, I think you received so much in that time, because I know that you operate strongly in the healing anointing. Mm-hmm. And so you were experiencing God's healing touch, His life touch, right?
Yes.
That you've now been able to give to others.
Mm-hmm.
But also, just even before we came on the set today, I had this sense from the Lord that you were going to be used powerfully in your prophetic mantle this weekend mm-hmm. that you're with us here. And when you were describing what God showed you, who your wife was going to be, where you were going to live, it's almost like that's probably when you got that download of your prophetic mantle as well, right there from the presence of the Lord. Well, He just shoved it all in there for you and sent you back.
One of the first indications that when I came to, I was surrounded by about a half a dozen doctors and nurses, and they were petrified because they were planning the next procedure, which was in pathology.
Right.
And their mouth was, and I knew everything that they were experiencing. They were afraid. They were scared. And I felt bad for them.
Right.
I felt bad that they felt bad.
Right.
Here I am. I'm roadkill. And, you know, it's like, it's inconceivable. How could somebody who has no hope, I lost all my talent, I lost basically lost everything, was so full of love, I was so full of peace. If I could put in a bottle, I'd be the wealthiest drug dealer in the world. You know,
wow.
This is peace that passes understanding.
Yeah.
There was no understanding how I could have it. I knew nothing could ever be wrong. That was probably the healthiest I ever was.
And you know what, Mickey, like in the natural now, as I know you, mm-hmm. you are one of the most peaceful, happiest, most positive people I've met, you know? And it's like, you're a man who's been through so much with this accident and the health and mm-hmm. everything that you've had to deal with as a result of that. And yet I never hear any self-pity. I never hear anything about woe is me. Like, you have just taken hold of the goodness of God and just moved forward. And you truly are a sign and a wonder in many ways. But that touch of eternity, that touch of God's mm-hmm. life that you received is still, like, you live in that. You just live in that realm. And I know people that are friends of ours who have gone through hard times that you're close to, and mm-hmm. you've just poured so much into them and been such a strength, such a support to so many people because you live in that realm, in the now. I think it's awesome.
Well, I really want to acknowledge a couple things in that regard. That blackness, for years I wondered, why did it get so close to almost being over? And why was it so intense the more it got to the end? Because that was the history of my life. For 19 years and 3 months, I was living in darkness, and God gave me a space in which,
wow.
Now I believe, because on the way to the hospital, I said the same thing, I'm sorry, give me another chance. If I'd have died half hour after I got to the hospital, I'd have been in heaven, you know, at any point there. But God waited to manifest his power till there was absolutely no hope.
Yeah, and he was showing you how close you were.
Yeah, how close.
You were in a dangerous place. Yeah. And you just a sec, I just feel something. I just have to say this right now. I just feel that there's someone watching this program that you are in a very dangerous place right now. Don't let your eternal placement be weighed in the balance like that right now. Get a hold of God and live for him 100%. Don't play around with the darkness. In Jesus' name, I beckon you to call on the name of the Lord and to walk uprightly with him. Now, just call on his name, just like Mickey did. There you go. Come on. Come on all the way in, all the way in. Sorry about that. I just had to go there.
The Spirit of God. Another thing is that anything that I've done, I've had a great deposit of the love of God. I mean, his love.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so different than the highest form of
sure.
any kind of love we can have. And he who's forgiven much loves much.
Mm-hmm.
I've been granted a tremendous deposit of forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think anything that I do that's encouragement and out of love, it's because God so revealed his love to me. And another thing is that how could I be in a state like that and be happy when I still had all the pain, I still was facing 5.5 years of hospitalization, up to 75 surgeries, I've never counted them all, but and is you know they said I'd never going to walk again and all this stuff. Well, how could I face all that mm-hmm. with joy? It's because the last thing that I breathed before I came back was the pure atmosphere of heaven.
Oh my gosh, tell us about that.
The pure atmosphere of heaven, God's presence. It is the purest form, that river of life.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and everybody, in that river that flows out of us, it has a desire to touch people and circumstances and bring life. That's why Jesus says, out of the midst of you will flow rivers of living water. When I came out, all I wanted to do, and it took me 7 years to figure out my destiny. And through that, God was discipling me. And through that, God was dealing with issues with me. And that's in my book. And you understand why. This is at a time in the 60s with the Peace Movement and mm-hmm. Vietnam War and Woodstock and you know, all that stuff where people were looking for mm-hmm. peace. You know, and we got to go back to the garden. There is no garden. Mm-hmm. If the kingdom isn't in you, there is nothing in you.
Exactly.
And if the conflict has got to end, because there's plenty of conflict in the world. In him, there's peace. Is only on perfect peace. And that comes from this eternal reality that you can only get. I call it falling to heaven because every other spiritual method mm-hmm. is some kind of a pyramid ascension to right. knowledge. This is when you humble yourself and realize,
right.
I've got to have something more. So it's just kind of a correlation with skydiving, which was my God and my idol, to I fell into heaven
yeah.
by being broken and so
through
desperate that I cried out
grace,
to God. And
so
what I got was my life back mm-hmm. 4 decades and 1 year ago.
Wow.
I've had 4 decades. I was 19 years old, 3 months, and I've had a life. And he'd have been merciful if I'd lived in a nursing home the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
But he's so wonderful that he gave me life and in its abundance.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say to the people out there, this is not a time to mess around. This is a time to completely give your life. You can only receive as much as you give. If you give God everything, he will give you everything. And what you can contain is more, and he'll just overflow. And I just want to say it's an honor to be here. And I wish, you know, we could be in everybody's house doing this, but we
yeah.
are via the electronic medium. Eternal life is a reality. Everybody has an appointment,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's not about being afraid of dying. It's about having the joy of living
Amen.
In the freedom that God wants us to live.
Amen. If you're watching right now and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior yet, why not reach out and accept him right now, right this very minute? His love is knocking on the door of your heart. He loves you so much, and he's so merciful. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what background, he is waiting for your response right now. He gave you his life 2,000 years ago, and he says, would you like me to come in and be your God? Would you like me to come into your heart and forgive all of your sin and give you a brand new life, an eternal life, a God life? Start everything over as of right now. If you want to do that, why don't you pray the prayer and just say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart right now. Forgive me of all my sin and be my God. Thank you, Lord. Now, if you prayed that prayer sincerely, he responds to the desire of your heart. Your name's being written in the book of life in heaven. It's awesome. You've come out of that dark place into this bright light that's in you now, that eternal life. And now you can start to explore his depths. Oh, how he loves you. He loves you so very much. Someone's watching the program that you actually had a tragedy where your body was injured and never totally healed. And it even involved the loss of a family member. I don't know if it was within the accident or as a result of all the emotional stuff that happened around it, but you lost that relationship. And you've been bitter ever since, and it hardened your heart. But as you're watching this program, you're thinking, well, if someone like Mickey, who suffered so much and so deeply, can come through happy, then what's with me? And right now, there's a transformation happening in your life where you're going from a bitter place into a love place. You have to forgive not only the people who have hurt you along the way, but even let the bitterness go of what happened to you, because you can choose joy. All things can work together and will work together for good if you love God and are called according to his purposes. So love him with all your heart and just say, Lord, I'm going to allow you to use this as a stepping stone and not a stumbling block. I'm going to allow you to work this together for good, not only for my own purposes, but for other people's purposes. And Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, right now, I loose the peace of heaven. I loose the joy of heaven upon that one, and I pray that as of this moment, this day, that a transformation will take place.
Trauma wants to cling to some people's lives way past the point of incidents, and you just need to ask God to give you, to show you that you want to shed this thing. It's like a spirit of heaviness, and it makes you feel negative or hopeless or disappointed or like you've been victimized. You need to go from being victimized to be victorious by letting go. And see, the past doesn't exist unless we give life to it. We speak about it, think about it, feel about it. So the only way to get in touch is to get in touch with the freshness of the Holy Spirit. I also saw a picture of somebody like breathing real hard, wheezing. I believe there's people that they're so weary they're so worn down. One of the strategies of the dark side is the wearing down of the saints. In Daniel chapter 7, it talks that he would try and wear, like just, and these are good people, well-intentioned, doing well, and the enemy just, you feel it. And we have to stop saying, I must be doing what's right because I really feel the devil's activity. I don't want to give the devil credit for making progress. I mean, God has made more progress in our lives than anybody, and there's more for us than there's against us. We know that we were born into a war, and wars will never cease. But we are seeing victory, and if you feel like you've been worn down, it's a time right now for you to get the greatest help from God. You just need to admit, I can't do this on my own anymore. I need a greater capacity. I just want to pray with you right now. The strong one, he is a high tower, and the righteous run to him. God is the strength of our life. His word will come and strengthen you with power in your inner being. And I just pray right out an impartation of divine bravery, of supernatural encouragement. That word says that David strengthened himself in the Lord. I think the Hebrew word is hazaked. And he went and he got a word from God of to recover everything that was lost. Some of you that have had losses, this is a season when there can be great recovery. Lost opportunity, relationship problems, opportunities in a career, whatever you're doing, opportunities for God to use you. Sometimes, you know, they get thwarted, they get interrupted. We can't focus on the past. We can say, now is the time I want the destiny that God had set aside for me. I want the inheritance that God has for me. Everything is in the New Testament talks about we are called to inherit a blessing. It talks about the fulfilling of God's promises in our life and the fulfilling of God's prophetic promises in our life. You are the greatest position right now to receive from God if you know that you're in need.
In the past, you were part of some kind of a demonic cult. And when Mickey was sharing about that darkness, you know that darkness because you were in some kind of an encounter. When you actually experienced it, you know that place and it terrified you. Well, you're a Christian now, but there's a trauma still about that darkness. In fact, you have a lot of fear, unnatural fears that you have to deal with all the time. And today, God's invading your heart, your mind, your memory of that darkness, and he's removing it. He's filling your very memory bank with light and life. And the fear that entered your heart at that time is coming out now in Jesus' name. And a new fresh courage and the power of love and security is coming inside of you. You are so secure in his love. He loves you very, very much. I can just feel the fear melting away. It's melting away, it's going. In fact, joy is starting to bubble up on the inside of you. You're starting to giggle right now. It's little laughs are coming out and you're thinking, it's true, I'm really feeling this. That's because it's Jesus. He's touching you, he loves you, and he's powerful.